The opinions and views expressed in the OC Variety Hour with Cameron Jackson do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.
Are you ready?
Yeah, are you?
Always.
What's coming up?
Best damn radio in Orange County.
I can feel the tension.
Me too.
Can we do it?
Always. We're the best.
What's it called?
The OC Variety Hour with Cameron Jackson and guest co-host Manoj Mahendrakar.
Good morning, Orange County. Welcome to the OC Variety Hour, where we are always interesting, always informative, and always entertaining. I am your host, Cameron Jackson. While he's not here in studio, he's always here in spirit. Manoj Mahendrakar, where are you? Feel free to call, or excuse me, rather than that, feel free to check out the OC Variety Hour website at www.ocvarietyhour.blogspot.com. Also, if you want to listen to us on the web, feel free to do so at www.kuci.org. Well, I'm going to get right into it today because I have an absolutely fascinating guest on my show today. He is the, I'm going to call him the front runner in the current campaign running for sheriff. He's Lieutenant Bill Hunt. Lieutenant Bill Hunt, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Cameron. Thanks for having me back.
Thank you for being here. So, talk to me, Bill. Tell me a little bit about yourself, because you're new to this whole campaign scene.
Right.
You've been doing it now for how long? How long have you been in the mix here?
Well, I've been really including behind-the-scenes work probably 18 months now. So
okay.
I'm getting quite an education.
Okay. Yeah, and this is your first time you've ever run for public office.
Absolutely. I am not a politician.
Okay.
That's for sure.
Okay. Now, give the listeners out there some background about who you are, where you've come from, what you're doing now.
Really, the long and short of it is I'm a career law enforcement officer. I mean, I joined the Army to be an MP the day after I turned 18. I worked as a military police officer for 3 years. I got out of the Army and joined the Orange County Sheriff's Department. I've been working here for, almost 21 years now. I came up through the Orange County Sheriff's Department, and when I say I'm a professional police officer, I mean that's what I am. You know, I came through this business. You know, as a police officer yourself, there's a lot of ways you can work your way up through the ranks in a law enforcement agency, and the way I chose is right up the middle. I mean, if there was a tough job in the Sheriff's Department, I've done it. I've worked the jails, patrol. I've worked in training police recruits from all over Southern California. I've been an investigator. I've worked general investigations, directed enforcement, narcotics. Gang enforcement. I was a supervisor for the gang team for 3 years down in South Orange County. I was on SWAT for 14 years, five and a half as a supervisor. I've been a manager, and of course now I serve as the chief of police in the city of San Clemente. So you can see those jobs are tough jobs. I mean, those are jobs where you work odd hours and a lot of overtime and spend a lot of time and energy away from your family. But those are the tough jobs that you really learn what this business is all about.
And the next big question then is, why do you want to be the Orange County Sheriff, and why should you? Why should we even pay attention to what you have to say?
Well, you know, I feel like I'm fighting for our home and our reputation. I mean, we've got Orange County has some of the highest standards in the nation. You name it: business, technology, housing, education, quality of life. I mean, we've got it all here. And I think that the Orange County Sheriff's Department needs to meet those same standards, and we're not, unfortunately. And we're not because of the man that's in office at the top right now, the sheriff. And he's failing us on two fronts. He's failing us personally with his choices and his decisions and some of the associations he has. I mean, who can forget George Jaramillo or Don Heidel or the nonsense going on with Erica Hill or the problem with the reserve programs? These are all personal decisions that Mike Corona has made that are affecting the reputation and standing of this great department that me and many like me have sacrificed and worked our hearts out for years. The second thing is professionally. I mean, Mike Corona has failed as a leader for the Orange County Sheriff's Department. Just some things that come to the top of my head. Do you know that In 2003 and 2004, the murder rate went up in Orange County 26%, while it fell statewide. Were you aware of that?
No, I was not, actually.
That in 2004, that males in Orange County were most likely to be killed by gang violence. Okay?
Really?
At the same, during that same time period, Mike Corona cut gang enforcement in the Sheriff's Department by 50%. We continually have one of the most overcrowded jail systems in the state of California. Mike Corona ran on a promise to fix jail overcrowding, or he wouldn't seek a second term. He's done nothing to alleviate jail overcrowding in two terms in office, and he's trying to seek a third term. Staffing. We are critically short in staffing. It's an officer safety issue, first of all. It's a public safety issue, first and foremost. So, you know, these are just some of the issues. The guy has failed us on both fronts. And we need somebody who's going to come into office and be the sheriff of Orange County. That's what we need here, a sheriff. We're talking public safety. That's my focus. That's where my focus has been my whole life. And it's leadership that's needed in the sheriff's department, someone who put the first things first, public safety, and will make that the litmus test for everything we do in the sheriff's department. Secondarily, what's best for the sheriff's department, and everything else is third. If we get our priorities straight and we focus on public safety, we're going to be much further ahead than we are right now.
Now, if you know, it seems to me that the Corona administration has spent a lot of time fostering political contacts in somewhat of an effort to gain money, power, influence, etc. But do you feel that if you set public safety as the standard first, that those other things will follow naturally?
Well, it's been my experience that, you know, I mean, you can get into this politics for two reasons, because you want to be somebody or you want to do something. Mike Corona is a classic example of somebody who wants to be somebody. He made it clear right from the beginning he was going to do two terms, because everybody knew he was trying to get to the state house or an appointment somewhere or whatever. Now, a lot of the mistakes he's made close those doors. And so what's he trying to do? Stick around here. And salvage himself, maybe so he can launch himself off again at some point in the future. But we're talking about law enforcement, public safety. In an age of terrorism, where we have gang violence and narcotics and all these problems in Orange County, we're not immune to it here. This is serious business. We need somebody who's going to focus on that. And it's been my experience, whether I was a deputy sheriff or a supervisor or as a manager, that if you do your job and you focus on your job, then you don't need to run around and say, look at me, and try to get all the support behind you. Because that the byproduct of you doing your job right is going to get you the recognition and the rewards that you have coming for you to begin with. And my focus will be public safety first.
Now, he came in initially with this 10-point plan, and that was what he kind of campaigned on. Right. And I know that there weren't a lot of things that he accomplished on that 10-point plan. We're not going to go over that today because that's not what the focus is. Do you have something similar? I mean, have you identified issues that you want to deal with, 1, 2, 3, 4, or do you have some kind of things that are standing out that really need to be addressed?
Well, let me answer it this way. I'm not going to do what Mike Corona did, which is go out and do some polling and litmus tests and find out what are hot-button issues and create some politically correct-sounding agenda that I can push to get me in office, because it didn't work for him. And like you said, he didn't accomplish any of the things he said he was going to accomplish, and it's not going to work for me. There are three things that I'm talking about doing right now, and this is what my focus is. Number one, I'm going to restore integrity and trust in the confidence and leadership of the Orange County Sheriff's Department. That's first and foremost to me. We are the biggest agency in Orange County. We impact law enforcement at every level in this county. We should be leaders. We should have the right people in the right positions to make this department an example, not a laughingstock.
And on that note, what is the – I mean, it's a huge budget. What is the budget of the Orange County
– $500 million and change.
Right.
It's
half
huge.
Half a billion dollars.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's huge. The second thing I want to do is put public safety over politics. It's your focus, and that's where Mike Corona has failed us. It's not the sheriff's department is not about the sheriff. We need a sheriff and not a politician, and it's about focusing on the men and women in the jails and on the streets – doing the job, protecting the citizens in our community every day. Focus is critically important. The third thing is we're going to put all our effort and energy into trying to make Orange County the safest community in the nation. We should be able to do that. And the way to do that is to go out and work with the chiefs of police. work with probation and parole and the other law enforcement entities so that we can have a unified approach to law enforcement in this county. You don't do it when you're dictatorial or dismissive of the chiefs and the other folks.
You know, let me, on that unified law enforcement, mm-hmm. and this just popped into my head. Down in San Diego, they have what's called ARGIS, and it's a regional computer system mm-hmm. that every department has a standardized form that looks the same. So if you go from Chula Vista Department to San Diego or Oceanside, the forms look the same, and they input all of their crime data into the same system. And then everybody in the county of San Diego can pull that information out. That is not available here in Orange County.
Right.
And I'm absolutely perplexed as to why this county does not have something like that. And is that something that if you get elected, you would be pushing for? Because, I mean, it's, you know, I'll give you a quick example. My house was burglarized
mm-hmm.
and they stole something that was serialized
right.
that they found. But it was stolen in Santa Ana. Recovered in Garden Grove,
right.
and it took 2 weeks for the two agencies
right.
to even come together and figure it out.
Okay. We have, you're right, that is a failure.
And it seems that the Sheriff's Department should be the one that coordinates
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. There is a program called Integrated Law and Justice that is designed to do just that. The chiefs of police, the courts, probation, parole, the DA's office, everybody in the county is supporting this thing to some degree. For just the reason you said, we need to be able to share information so that we can work together and have law enforcement. Police work is about information.
Right.
I don't care if you're a deputy in the jail, if you're working in a patrol car, or if you're an investigator. The more information you have about what's going on in your area, timely information, the better. Integrated Law and Justice is designed to do that. That is a program that the Chiefs of Police and Sheriff's Association has been pushing for 7 years. 7 years, okay?
And how long has Corona been in office?
He's been in office 7 years.
Okay.
The Sheriff's Department has been the stick in the mud to that program since its inception. They are trying to do that. Now, I don't care. There may be some legal issues or whatever, and that's what Mike Corona's saying. There are some issues with privacy or whatever. All I know is they're doing it in San Diego, and they're mm-hmm. doing it in Riverside, and they're doing it in other counties. Mm-hmm. We should be doing it here. There's no excuse. There is or should be no hurdle that we can't overcome to make this program work. And that is a perfect example of why I'm running for office.
We need to put
public safety first.
This is the tough question. Do you have the leadership skills to bring those people on board?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're already there. They're already there. What we need to do is get over this empire building, who's in charge nonsense, and come to the table and work together to improve public safety. And that is one issue that there's no argument from anybody. It will improve public safety countywide. We should not be messing around. It shouldn't take 7 years to do it, that's for sure. With any time you bring different organizations together and you're talking about joint power authorities or whatever, there's some hurdles you have to overcome. But 7 years, give me a break. That we are failing public safety in that regard, and we're failing the officers on the street that may not have access to information. We're failing the victims of crime like you were, who have to wait extended periods of time while we stumble around and try to put things together in an old-fashioned way because we're not using technology the way we should. This is a disgrace. It needs to be fixed. Now, you're going to see Mike Corona try to come out and defend some things on this because he has to, but it's indefensible. Indefensible. 7 years to do something that common sense will tell you is in the best interest of public safety is too long, and it's unacceptable. It's a failure.
If you're just now joining us, you're listening to the OC Variety Hour right here at KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. My guest today is Lieutenant Bill Hunt of the Orange County Sheriff's Department. He is currently running against the incumbent sheriff, Mike Corona. Bill, let's talk about the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some issues that have arisen, and before we even get into that, tell me a little bit about your relationship with Shirley Grindle. Shirley Grindle, for my listeners out there, is the premier county watchdog for campaigns. If it doesn't smell right, Shirley Grindle can sniff it out, and she is all over it.
Right.
And she is very good at what she does. I don't know how long she's been doing it, but I know it's been for quite some time.
Right.
Tell me about your relationship with her and how you kind of approach this campaign, because I think it's very important that the listener hear what you've done to try and keep integrity within the campaign.
Well, I don't have a tremendous relationship with Shirley, but I have met with her. Here's what happened. When initially, Mike Corona sent me down this road. He was encouraging me to support him because he was only going to run two terms. And, you know, I don't know anything about politics. I've never been a politician before. I've never run for office. I've been a policeman. But I did know that Mike Corona has had problems with his fundraising, and other elected officials have had problems with fundraising. And I knew two things. One, I was not going to use any of the people that Mike Corona was using. I wanted to be separate and away from that and build a professional organization that did things right. Secondly, I wanted to find out what the rules are so I knew how to proceed. So to me, it just made sense to call Shirley Grindel. I mean, you know, I read about her in the paper. She is a community watchdog. Her thing is countywide races. She pulls all the campaign reporting documents. She goes over with a fine-tooth comb, and she's looking for problems. So I went and had breakfast with her probably, almost a year and a half ago now. And I sat down with her, and I said, look, what are the rules? What can I do? How do I set things up? How do I find a treasurer? You know, how do I get the ball rolling? Because I want to do things right. I don't want to create problems for myself. It's going to be enough problems as there are. She's very receptive. She gave me a lot of points. She answered my questions. And I actually, the treasurer that I have for the campaign was a recommendation from her. And to show you how that worked, she recommended this guy. He happens to live in or work in San Juan Capistrano. His name is Barry Garcia. And I called him, and he was surprised that Shirley had recommended him. So that alone, let me know what her, you know, character was. I mean, she wasn't recommending a friend, and it let me know that it was a guy who understood the business, did things right. He was a professional, and he wasn't going to get me in trouble.
What kind of stuff has he done in the past?
He's worked for Bill Campbell in the past, and he's done several other campaigns, and he understands campaign law. And he's a CPA, and Shirley said generally they're not the best folks for it, but you know, he understands it. And the thing about Barry, and it's what I'm going to do with the sheriff's department, is if you put the right people in the right place for the right reasons, you're not going to have problems.
Right.
He's a guy, you know, Barry's not running out an intimate member of the campaign trying to decide strategy or any of that. What he does is we bring campaign funds to him. He tracks them, organizes them, and reports. That's his job. He does it well.
Now, what about this business now that the DA is investigating you for improper campaign practice? What is this? Give us the backstory on this, and tell us what's really going on.
Okay, I don't have a lot of first-hand knowledge on it because I haven't been contacted myself by anybody from the DA's office. But I do know this: Captain Christine Murray, who is a close confidant of Mike Corona,
who's under investigation herself.
Exactly, she's been indicted by the Attorney General's office for illegally soliciting campaign contributions from inside the Sheriff's Department. Now, here's one of the things I clarified with Shirley Grindel, because I am a police officer. That's all. In my constituency, by and large, is going to be law enforcement, because these people know me, they trust me, they've worked with me, they understand who I am and what type of leadership I'm going to bring to the Sheriff's Department. Now, I had people coming up to me before my meeting with Shirley and saying, hey, I want to give you money, I want to support your campaign. I'm saying, hey, I don't know what the rules are, just hold on. And I met with Shirley and I said, what's the story with that? And she said, it's problems. If you take money internally, it can be a problem for you. I said, well, is it legal to take money? She said, absolutely. I mean, deputy sheriffs are just like anyone else. They're voters, they have a right to support the candidate of their choice, and they have a right to contribute and participate in the political process. But you can't solicit directly. And that's what happened with Christine Murray. My understanding is she obtained telephone number information from the Sheriff's Department, which is one violation. And then she used that to call directly captains, lieutenants, and civilian managers and solicit their support and financial contribution on behalf of the sheriff. We knew right after our meeting with Shirley, we can't do that. What we've told everybody is, hey, look, we're not asking for money. You can ask for support, but you can't ask for money. Now, people have come to me or come to others and approach me or sent checks in the mail, and those types of things are perfectly legal. You can accept that. And if somebody asks you, what can I do to help the campaign, then you can tell them, hey, fundraising is one of the things we're doing. You know, we're doing precinct walking, we're doing signs. And if they ask, how can I contribute, then you're allowed to do that. You cannot solicit directly. So we have refrained from doing that. And I'm proud to say that I have raised a lot of money from friends and coworkers and people that I've worked with through my career within the Sheriff's Department.
Well, and now, though, she is the source for this current bit with the DA's office, which is just perplexing to me that she's under investigation for campaign finance issues.
Right.
And now she's the source on this case, and she's a crony of Mike Cronin. Explain to me, what's going on with the DA's office?
Well, this is my understanding. I have talked to a high-ranking guy at the DA's office who I know and trust, and he said, look, it's a common practice when they receive a complaint to follow up on them. You know what? I'm going to take them at their word. I don't have any reason to believe otherwise. What's interesting to me is how this thing was initiated. I mean, you have a criminal defense attorney for Christine Murray who has been indicted by the Attorney General's office, who sent a letter to the Sheriff's Department saying that Bill Hunt supporters have violated practically everything you can do to violate campaign law. But they haven't identified a specific violation. They just said, he's done A, B, C, D, E, and F because those are law violations. The Sheriff's Department sent it to the Attorney General. The Attorney General said we're not interested, and it went to the DA's office. And the DA is investigating it. Now, they've talked to several people from within the department. Everybody that I've talked to that was interviewed said it's a fishing expedition, pure and simple. They don't have any articulable violation. And what, to me, is unusual, I mean, if you come, you are a police officer, you come to a police department and make allegations of a crime and you have nothing to support it at all, chances are you're not going to do an investigation on that. You need something. You may take an initial report or whatever, but if there's nothing there, we're busy folks. We got a lot to do. And that's what my, I guess, beef is with this thing. You know, this is a tough business. I am taking on the incumbent sheriff and his whole political machine. He has not only the incumbency of his political office, but he's got the might and influence of the entire sheriff's department to wield and use against me. And my thing is, hey, if you want to come after me, come after me. But, we're doing things right.
Well, it seems to me to be there's a slight bit of a conflict of interest here. I mean, we have Mike Schroeder, who's in the center of this, who is the consultant to not only Mike Corona, but to Tony Rakakis. I mean, it smells fishy to me. And on the surface, it looks fishy. I hope that the feedback that you're getting from people is that they're seeing through it as well.
Well, it stinks. And at the end of the day, the whole thing with Mike Schroeder, these political operatives have no business being involved with the sheriff's department's day-to-day business. And, that's one thing when Brad Gates was sheriff. Somebody ran against Brad Gates, he let him run. And he just took care of business. And that's the problem with this guy. I mean, his house is falling down, and he's using people like Mike Schroeder to try to hold things together, and all he's doing is creating more problems. But at the end of the day, I'm not worried about it. I know what we've done. We are doing everything we can to abide by the law, and we are not going to be intimidated into backing down. And the people that are supporting me are not intimidated. These are policemen. They go after bad guys for a living. And you know what?
I was very surprised. I look at your campaign statements, and there were a lot of police officers on there and deputies that have contributed to your campaign. I mean, that's pretty big.
I'm very proud of that. And you know why that is, Cameron? Because our department's taken it on the chin. And it's not just our department. I've got people from other law enforcement agencies, probation, parole, all over the county. They're coming up for the same reason. In law enforcement, we have pride in ourselves. We have pride in our occupation. We take an oath of office. We live up to a code of ethics. And when the guy at the top is the problem, that's an easy fix. And that's what those people are doing. These folks know me. They know I'm not a politician. They know I'm not going to be running around jet-setting between Washington and Sacramento, that I'm going to be staying here and focusing on public safety, just like I've always done. That's why I have such a wide base of support in public safety. And, I'm counting on those folks to stand with us, to talk to their neighbors and their friends and spread the word.
And what are you doing as far as getting the word out in the community? What have you been actively doing to get the word out?
We're doing everything we can. We're going out and talking to groups. We're doing meet and greets. We're talking with people from the business community. We're talking with political leaders and people from the political community. We're talking with people from the law enforcement, public safety community. Everything we can do, we're doing, because we just want to get the message out. This is Orange County. What do we want in a sheriff? Do we want somebody that we can be proud of, who's going to be focused on the right thing, public safety, putting first things first? Or do we want someone who's going to be up there looking out after himself and embarrassing us every day in the newspaper? Because I don't care what you say. You know, Mike Corona isn't besieged by one problem. This isn't one little peripheral issue that, you know, he made a bad choice or something and let's give him a break. He's got problem after problem after problem after problem, and where there's smoke, there's fire. We've got 58 sheriffs in the state of California, and I don't see any of the rest of these guys having these types of problems because they're high-profile public figures. It's Mike Corona, and it's his choices and decisions and associations that have led to these problems, and it needs to stop. And it would be different, Cameron, if, you know, in law enforcement, as a law enforcement executive, you have to expect that the problems are going to pop up. You know, I had a little one in San Clemente last week involving a friend of mine. These things happen. Okay, when those things happen, we step in and we get involved and we solve them. And if there's training or if there are other issues that we need to deal with, discipline, then we take care of it. But when you are the problem, see, in the sheriff's department, the remarkable thing is, it's not the deputy sheriffs that are the problem. We're not having big use of force issues or pursuits that are getting out of control and becoming major headline issues. Our people are doing the job. We've got a guy up top who feels like he's above the law, who's running amok, and he's creating the problem. So that's an easy fix, folks. In June, get out and vote for Bill Hunt for sheriff.
And you know, you bring up a very good point. You're right. We do not hear about pursuits going out of control or a large array of shootings or use of force issues with the Orange County Sheriff's Department. And I'm glad you brought that up because I don't ever hear that, to tell you the honest truth.
We've got good people. We've got good training. We've got professional law enforcement officers here. The problem is our leadership is weakening and weakening, and that affects an agency over time.
Yes.
And we are backing ourselves into a corner. Well, if we don't get the right people in the right place, we are going to start having problems.
Right. And what people don't understand is that it might take 10 years for those problems to show up, but then it's going to take another 10 years to fix those
Absolutely.
Problems.
Absolutely. Turning around the sheriff's department, it's a big, multifaceted organization. It's going to be like turning around an aircraft carrier. You just can't bang a U-turn. You got to slow down, put the right people in place, restore the focus, get people focused on the right thing, and start bringing people around.
Let's talk real quick. You touched on the issue of your friend last week with in San Clemente.
Right.
Talk about that for us so that the listener, because the listener might have picked up on that and was, tell me what happened with that.
I mentioned it for a couple of reasons. Number one is the Corona machine is trying to exploit it for more than what it is.
Right, because this was reported in the Register.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, but what happened is a friend of mine, a longtime friend, a retired deputy sheriff, a guy who's gave many years of his life in service to the people here in Orange County and to the Orange County Sheriff's Department, was pulled over in the city of San Clemente by a deputy sheriff, and he was intoxicated. And unfortunately, he wasn't as cooperative as he should have been. And the deputy in the field called me, and the deputy's intention was he wanted to give the guy a ride home, and he knew that he was a friend of mine and said, hey, look, will you talk to him? Well, I wasn't going to talk to him, and I told the deputy that. I said, number one, it's inappropriate to talk to him, and I shouldn't be talking to you at this point. You know, you're out there by policy and law. You have the right to make the decision out there. If you don't know what that decision is, you got a sergeant. Call him. But you do the right thing for the circumstances. And at one point, he even asked me, well, what do I do with him? I said, if he's drunk and he's uncooperative, arrest him. Now call your sergeant. And I called, hung up from him, I contacted the sergeant in the field. And if things are done right, if the chain of command is followed properly, you can solve problems. That's why we have supervision. That's why we have management. And what happened was I called my sergeant. I said, hey, you know, what's going on with this thing? He says, well, I think they're going to give him a ride home. I said, why are they going to do that? He says, well, you know, it solves the problem. It's an appropriate way to handle it. I says, it is an appropriate way to handle it. Is it the right way to handle it? Well, you know, it solves the public safety issue. Well, it does, but let's look at it in a bigger context. If this thing's on the front page of the OC Weekly next week, is it still going to be the right way to handle it? Because I'm telling you, that's what's coming. Because I'm involved and was brought into this thing, it's going to be a political football. And he said, no, I think we probably ought to arrest him. I said, thank you very much. When you get your job done, give me a call. Now, here's the thing. This thing was brought up to the sheriff's administration, and they leaked this thing to the media. And the tragedy here is you have a deputy sheriff, a retired deputy sheriff, regardless of what his problems are, what choices he made, for political purposes to try to expose me. They put this guy on the news, and they embarrassed him and his family. And they're going after the deputies in the field with an investigation, is my understanding. And they're doing it for political purposes so that they can say this incident is being investigated. Maybe it wasn't handled as well as it should have been initially. But once supervision and management got involved, it did get handled. This man did not get preferential treatment. He was arrested. He was booked in Orange County Jail, and he's going to have to pay the consequences. the ironic thing is, this particular gentleman has a lot of relationships within the sheriff's department. The guy who gave him a ride home was trained by this guy in the field as a deputy sheriff. The sergeant who handled this thing and ultimately made the right call in the field was the man who responded when the guy who was arrested got in a fight that resulted in the injury that ended his career. He was the guy that responded to back him up. There were a lot of personal relationships in this thing, but even through that, they did the right thing. That's a tough thing to do, folks. So, you know, we did the right thing there. What disappoints me is that this administration and this sheriff would stoop so low that he would throw a former deputy sheriff's personal life out in the street, and that he would put his deputies out in the news like that, questioning their judgment and questioning what they do in the field for political purposes. And that ought to concern every deputy sheriff in the sheriff's department, because the message there is, you get my way, you're expendable. And there's plenty of people that have learned that over the years.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's a tragedy. Anytime a situation like that happens, whether it's the Heidel situation or a situation like this, I'll tell you how I'm going to handle it. I'm going to get the people together that are involved. I'm going to ask what happened. And then we're going to go to the media, and we're going to talk about it. But we're going to protect the people that were involved. If you were going to put something like this, if I were the sheriff and the media were coming to me and I were going to put something like this out, I'd tell them, here are the circumstances. Guy was detained in the field. He'd been drinking. Initially, the deputies wanted to give him a ride home. A supervisor got involved, said, nope, we're going to treat him like everybody else. He was subsequently arrested. We're not going to give the name of the person. We're certainly not going to put his picture out in front of the television. He is a valued member of the department who made a mistake, and he's paying for it at this point in time. And I hope you will respect his family and, you know, in his situation at this time. And that's how you handle. You put the information out, you put the truth out, and you answer the questions. Mike Corona doesn't do that. He lets them stew and he lets them build because he's afraid they're going to stick to him. It's leadership. When you have a problem as a leader, you get out front and you take care of it. Or it's not going to go away. And you see that with him now. He's got so many fires, he can't put them out.
And as a listener out there, I think you've brought up a lot of really interesting points about how the quandary that sometimes law enforcement gets in. You've got sure. these people that you've worked with for so long. I mean, when you were telling me the story just now, it kind of made me a little emotional, because I can know exactly how they felt. You've
right.
got somebody that you've worked with, somebody that trained you, somebody that you've helped out, and now you've got to do this, but you do it because it's the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
And it's tough. It's tough.
Police officers aren't perfect. We're people.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about. Leadership is so important in an organization like this, because you have to make tough decisions. You know, if you're a baker and you give free bread to your employees or other bakers, nobody yells at you for it. If you're a doctor and you give free treatment to another doctor, no one yells at you for it. But if you give a deputy sheriff a pass and you're a deputy sheriff, it's yeah. front page news.
Right.
And it's unfortunate, but that's the reality. Mm-hmm. And in law enforcement, if you're a leader, you have to make the right decisions at the right times. That's what you're getting paid for.
Right. If you're just now joining us, you're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. This is the OC Variety Hour. I am Cameron Jackson. My guest today is the runner. He's running against Sheriff Mike Corona in the election. When is the election? 2006? What's the date?
June 6th of 2006,
June
I believe, 6th. Is the primary.
And we're getting close. We're getting very, very close. I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have more from Lieutenant Bill Hunt. And it does go quick, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Yes, it does. We'll be right back.
The new year will get a rocking welcome Saturday, December 31st, when the Soundbites perform at the 15th Annual First Night Fullerton. The family-oriented, alcohol-free New Year's Eve celebration will take place from 7 p.m. to midnight and will feature dozens of events staged at numerous sites in historic downtown Fullerton. Admission is free. For more information, please contact the Fullerton Museum Center at 714-738-6545. 714-738-6545.
Attention shoppers, if anyone is missing a rather plump set of love handles, please come to the customer service counter and claim them. The ample love handles were lost in the produce department, where their former owner had purchased fruits and veggies to munch on during the big game. Thank you and have a good day.
Small step number 81, snack on fruits and veggies. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council. What's this? Milk. Low fat, no fat. They're milk too, and their names rhyme.
This man may sound odd.
Low fat, no fat.
But to his 3-year-old daughter helping him pick out food, he makes perfect sense.
Here's cheese with holes in it.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. Take simple moments like shopping and turn them into learning moments.
It's called Swiss.
Swiss has holes.
That's right. Oh, can you say gorgonzola?
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Visit bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Some thoughts from John Cleese.
A hotel in Miami is called Hawaii. There is also a motel in Hawaii called Miami. The place that seems romantic and special is always somewhere else. Those who grow oranges in their backyards love apple orchards. Those with an apple tree or two dream of oranges. What seems most desirable is always the thing we don't have. If we could only see our homes and possessions the way others see them, perhaps we would no longer take them for granted. We could then realize that it matters little whether we live in Miami or Hawaii. Each place is beautiful in its own right.
A message from the Philosophers of America, celebrating 100 years of thought.
Do you care about your mental health? College can be a stressful time with many transitions in your life. You don't have to cope with it alone. Students attending UCI can receive 8 free sessions that are confidential with a trained psychologist at the Counseling Center, located in Student Services Building 1, across from Cornerstone. For more information, go to www.counseling.uci.edu.
The Identity Theft Resource Center is a national nonprofit organization that focuses exclusively on identity theft. It was founded in San Diego in December 1999 by Linda and Jay Foley after Linda herself became a victim of identity theft. They provide free resources for consumers and victims and help lobby for critical consumer legislation. They are often featured in the media and receive numerous accolades and awards for their great work. To learn more about how to protect yourself from identity theft, please visit www.idtheftcenter.org.
Welcome back. This is the OC Variety Hour. I am Cameron Jackson. You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. If you're just now joining me, my guest today is Lieutenant Bill Hunt of the Orange County Sheriff's Department. He is the front runner, and he is running against the incumbent sheriff, Mike Corona. Bill, thanks again for coming.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Are you like the rest of us gearing up for the holiday season?
Absolutely.
All right, now you're married and you have how many kids?
Married, 4 kids.
4 kids.
Right.
And are they all of age to really know what's going on with Christmas?
Well, yeah, they. My oldest son's 13.
Right.
I have a daughter that's 12, a daughter that's 10, and a son that's 6. So.
Okay, so everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah, they're all.
No, but does a 6-year-old still believe in Santa Claus?
Of course.
Okay,
they all do, don't they?
Okay, they all do still. I was just wondering if you have to like kind of contain the 14-year-old and from giving the secrets out.
Well, they play along if they don't.
Okay, good. So you're already ready to go.
I am. Thanks for asking.
Okay, good. Okay, let's get back into it because we've got so much more to talk about. You're running for sheriff. You've been doing so. I'm sorry. You have to ask the family questions, you know?
Right. Hey, no problem. I appreciate it.
Yeah. You're not used to it, but guess what, buddy? You're a public figure now.
Right.
Let's talk about some of these issues that have been going on in the department, mm-hmm. specifically with the reservist program. That
right.
has just come under fire. We've got these 86 reservists that have been scrutinized now for the longest time. POST, which is the organization, the police officers standard board that basically mm-hmm. regulates the police departments, is saying that a lot of these people cannot be POST certified. They cannot have badges. They cannot have guns. These were seen as political favors by Mike Corona.
Right.
Many of them actually were political favors. In fact, probably all of them were. Now it's been reported that only about 10 of them even want to continue trying to be reserve sheriffs.
Right.
What is up with this program, and where do you kind of see it in the future when you're elected?
Well, I'll tell you, it is a travesty what has happened to the reserve program with the Orange County Sheriff's Department. I mean, look, reserve officers, these are folks that come in and do the job that we do on a part-time basis with no compensation. And I've got guys working in the city of San Clemente who come out and regularly pull midnight shifts for us. They help us out at our big events like our Fiesta, where we get 30,000 people packed in on Del Mar, 4th of July celebration. We use them for all kinds of things. There is a legitimate need for reserves, and we have a core of professional, trained, qualified reserve officers in the Orange County Sheriff's Department, and they need to be commended. The problem is the Mike Corona administration, under his leadership and Don Heidel's leadership and George Jaramillo's leadership and the various lieutenants they put in charge of that program, have corrupted it. And look, at the end of the day, it's about standards. And standards in law enforcement is something you cannot compromise. I mean, we're talking about equipping people and giving them badges and guns and authority over people's freedom and over enforcing the law. And this is serious business. And that's why we have a six-month academy for deputy sheriffs before they can become a deputy sheriff or a police officer in the state of California. That's why we have standards for the Reserve Bureau that post the Peace Officer Standards and Training Commission for Peace Officer Standards and Training here in California sets these standards so that we get qualified people. And what happened is Mike Corona came in and categorically decided that he was going to circumvent that system, that he was going to do a couple of things. First of all, he was not going to complete background check. Background checks are critical, and they're required in law enforcement because we want to make sure we have people that are of good, sound mind and judgment with clean history that aren't likely to create problems for us, as he's learning they will do if you get the wrong people in there. Secondarily, we have training standards to make sure that the people that you're giving badges and guns to and sending out to the community have the training to know how to handle that responsibility. He just fundamentally disregarded the whole system. And people really need to understand how big of a problem this is, because he brought in 86 people, essentially deputized them in a farce training, ignored many times excessive drug use and criminal history in their backgrounds that would have eliminated them from qualification under normal circumstances and made them reserve officers. And several times it's come back to bite us. And then what happened is you create a problem in the reserve division where the people who are there for the right reasons, who don't have money to support the sheriff, who aren't hosting events for him and taking him out on their boats and doing all this stuff that these other guys are doing, are second-class citizens in their own agency. And they're not getting the positions of authority, and they're not getting the promotions that they deserve for having spent the time, put the hours on the street, committed themselves to this job, who deserve promotion. And he's promoting these other folks that are friends of his to lead that organization. It's thoroughly corrupted. And there is a microcosm of that going on within the department. It's the same thing. The people who have done the job, worked the tough jobs, who have proven themselves and responsible leaders are being marginalized because they won't compromise their integrity to go along with Mike Corona's show. And he's promoting those people who are either too weak or too self-centered to care and do their own and will compromise themselves to do his thing. Now, for me, it's very simple. There are standards for reserve programs in the state of California. We're going to follow them. When I get in there, we're raising standards, folks, all the way across the board, sworn, non-sworn, and leadership particularly. The higher you go in the Orange County Sheriff's Department when Bill Hunt is sheriff, the more accountable and the more responsible you're going to be, because I'm going to hold you to it. There is no excuse to have anybody with a badge and a gun and a uniform in the Orange County Sheriff's Department that does not pass background prior to being issued these things and has not met the training. And we will not have that happen. I will clean up the reserve program and restore it to the professional organization that it was before Mike Corona came to power.
How many reserves are there now?
I couldn't even tell you.
Minus the 86. I mean, are we in the hundreds or just tens or 20?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think we have all that many. I don't know what the number is. You know, I would have to check.
Right.
But we could use more. And the reason why... recruiting has to suffer when the organization is under the kind of scrutiny and it has the problems that it has. You can fix that, right? There are plenty of people that want to volunteer and be involved in assisting law enforcement. If you have the right people in there, the right leadership, we can recruit the right people and we can get them in place. And then we're going to have quality people that we can count on to do the right thing. And that's going to benefit the organization. It's going to benefit public safety. And that's my one and two priority. Public safety and the best interests of the department.
Now, earlier you mentioned that the homicide rate is up and that gang violence as well is up.
Right.
What kind of things can you see put in place when you're elected that you're going to do to fix those issues?
Well, the very first thing we need to do, Cameron, is fill our staffing levels. We are dangerously short-staffed in the Orange County Sheriff's Department. We are a minimum of 11% all the way across the board. Now, in areas,
what does that mean, minimum 11%?
That means if we have 100 positions assigned somewhere, we have a minimum of 89 people there. We are 11% vacant, minimum. That's a mandatory vacancy factor. But the problem is Mike Corona mismanaged the whole recruiting process. He shut down recruiting for a period of time. We can't even keep up with attrition. Now we're trying to push academies through to try to back things up or get us back up to snuff staffing-wise. We can't do it. It's going to take 12 to 18 months by Mike Corona's own admission to do that. Now, why is that a problem? Because our gang unit is at 50% staffing. Our NARCs have been gutted. Our investigative units
have been gutted.
Narcotic officers. Right. I mean, those are important things when you talk about fighting gang crime, when you talk about fighting the impact of drugs in our community. You have to have these people working in a street-level capacity. We don't have them. Our investigators for general property crimes, we are short everywhere, and we need to get up to speed.
Is that something that you see as being very easily accomplished once you become sheriff?
Well, no, it's not easily accomplished, but it has to become a priority because, look, it takes
Is it an issue of money, or what is it? Is it an issue of leadership or money?
Well, if Mike Corona's got $80 million in the bank, isn't that what we just learned in the paper, somewhere
yes.
between $75 and $80 million?
Yes.
Then why isn't he putting deputy sheriffs on the street?
Mm-hmm.
That is the most important function we have. That's what fights crime, folks, deputy sheriffs. And we are dangerously short. And it's so short, Cameron, that if you work in a contract city, if you are a mayor or a councilman of a contract city and you pay for X amount of bodies, say you pay for 30 bodies, there's not one contract in the sheriff's department that has the bodies they're paying for, not one. And that includes the harbor, that includes the airport, that includes the metro system, OCTA, and the 12 contract cities we have. Now, that is gross mismanagement. When an entity is coming to you, a customer, and throwing down money and saying, this is the service I'm paying for, and you're not giving it to them, that's mismanagement. And we're playing with public safety, folks. And what are we talking about? We're living in an era of terrorism. We need deputy sheriffs that can respond and react in the field. Crime is big business. It's serious business, and it needs to be taken seriously. And you can't do it when you're fighting scandal or when you're running around jet-setting all over the nation saying, look at me, and trying to find another job for yourself. That's something that you have to take care of here at home. It's critically important. Mike Corona has dropped the ball on that. There is no quick fix for it. We have to aggressively recruit. We have to expand our academies. We have to get deputy sheriffs through the program so that we can staff our jails and, in turn, staff our positions in the field. But like I said, these problems that he's created aren't overnight fixes. You have to focus on that and get it moving. It's like turning around an aircraft carrier. But he has dropped the ball there, and public safety is suffering because of it.
Now, what do you see, you know, this business of being in a campaign is difficult mm-hmm. because there are people who will expect something from you because they've helped you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what has largely gotten Mike Corona into trouble. What
right.
is your personal philosophy on that? What is your policy going to be? I mean, when you're talking to these people that want to help you out and donate a large amount of money or whatnot, but they feel like they might want something in return.
Right.
To keep integrity with the system, what are you doing to deal with that?
Well, one thing, we've done it right from the very beginning. I've told people internally that have been supporting me for 18 months now that if you support me because you think I'm the right guy for the job, because I will not compromise my integrity or the office of the sheriff to promote you or to give you some type of benefit for supporting me. Support me because you think I'm the right guy. And then put your faith in me that I'm going to make the right decisions. It's the same for people externally. See, you're right. There is a large group of people with a severe entitlement complex supporting and propping Mike Corona up. And they're doing it because he's throwing perks their way. But I'm telling you, there are 3 million people in the County of Orange. And the vast majority don't come in contact with law enforcement or the sheriff ever. But they do have a stake in having a sheriff who's focused on public safety and is putting all his time and effort and energy into protecting them and the community they live in. And those are the people I'm talking to. If somebody wants to come up to me and hope I'm going to give them a badge or a get-out-of-jail pass, you know what? They can go to Mike Corona and support him, because that's where the sign up is for that group. People that are supporting me, I'm talking to the men and women out there who want protection in their communities, who understand the importance of law enforcement, particularly in the age we live in now, and will support a candidate who doesn't want to play politics. And I've talked to plenty of law enforcement leaders and other sheriffs that run their organizations the same way. And you know what? They manage to get elected, and they get people supporting them. Those are the people I want supporting me. There are vastly larger numbers of people out there who just want good law enforcement and good government than there are that want, you know, perks from the sheriff. Well, and those are the people I'm appealing to.
Right, and that's especially here in Orange County. We want good, responsible government.
Well, we should have. We should demand it.
Right. Now, tell me a little bit about what people can do to help you. How can people help the campaign for Bill Hunt? What kinds of outlets do you have for this?
Well, I appreciate you asking that. thank you very much. Look, there's a lot we can do. We've got 6 months, essentially, until the primary, and we're going to be hitting the ground running. I would like to, if you can do a coffee or a host a gathering in your neighborhood, if you're in charge of a group, and I can come out and speak and get my point across and tell people why I'm running and what the issues of this campaign are, go to my website, www.billhuntforsheriff.com, and you can contact us on the support bill page and send me an email and let me know, and we will plug it in. I mean, that's huge. If you will, have heard me here today and you believe in my vision for the future of public safety in Orange County, send me a contribution. You know, asking for money is not an easy thing to do, but the reality is, and you see the way Mike Corona's spokesmen defend his position, what do they say? Well, they don't have any money anyway, that's a tragedy. And anything you can do to support this campaign is welcome. Again, go to my website. You can find out the address there. Send us a contribution. $10, $50, $100, it all adds up. We need to be able to get our message out. Public safety over politics is critical. Restoring integrity to the Orange County Sheriff's Department, their sheriff's department, so they don't have to open the paper every day and read about another scandal, and making Orange County safe. There are a lot of things we can do. We need volunteers on the campaign. We need people that can help us sort things out and create databases. We need people that can walk precincts. We're going to be starting a huge precinct walking effort in January. If people would like to get involved with that, just go to the website, billhuntforsheriff.com. Let me know that you want to get involved, and we'll get you involved. We need support. I'm excited about this thing. I've got a lot of support. Support's building. We're picking up support in the political community, several endorsements of elected officials. We're picking up support in the business community. One recent endorsement that I'm very proud of is Mario Rodriguez from San Clemente, who's a well-known businessman, very active politically, formerly a supporter of Mike Corona, but he understands the issues here, and he's thrown his support behind me, and I'm grateful for that. We have a lot going on. There is a lot of excitement out there, and it's going to start building and building. So if you'd like to get involved, please contact the campaign, billhuntforsheriff.com. Let us know what you would like to do. We'll get you plugged in. It's going to be an exciting 6 months.
Absolutely.
And I'm really looking forward to it. But again, contributions. If you can, I know it's Christmas, and I know it's tough, but if you can spare, you know, $10, $50, $100, whatever you can spare, that's going to help us put stamps on envelopes and put information in voters' hands. And that's what's going to help us win.
Give me real quick, give me your vision for, give the listener, the voter, your vision for the Sheriff's Department and where you'd like to see the Sheriff's Department once you're elected 4 years from now, 8 years from now. What is your vision?
First of all, I visualize the Orange County Sheriff's Department as a leader in law enforcement in the county, as a leader, as the lead agency. As an example of what law enforcement is and can be in the county. Second of all, I see us as a partner in leadership with the chiefs of police, with county fire, with probation and parole, and the entities, the court system, and the DA's office, everybody that's involved in public safety in Orange County, and making Orange County a better place for us to live. And finally, I see us as an organization that's task-oriented, that the folks that are dedicated to operations, investigations, and patrol are out there doing what they can to lower crime. And we're making that a primary issue. And that the folks that are working in corrections and in the jail system are running safe, efficient jails that are keeping bad people off the streets. And all of our support functions that are out there that support these important functions are working hand in hand not protecting their empires, but doing what they can to focus on what will be my priorities. Public safety, the best interests of the sheriff's department, and then whatever third will be, whatever issue is important, whatever priority is most important for the sheriff's department of public safety at the time. And that means, you know, maybe you're in charge and involved in a part of the department that's not a priority, and you have to sacrifice a little bit because we have to pick up the ball somewhere else. But that's about teamwork and leadership and getting people understanding what the mission is, and that's my job. I'm going to be out there with the department, with the people, with my peers in the public safety arena, and we're going to be talking about what we need to do and getting some enthusiasm and some excitement going, developing the right people, and taking this department forward. And that's my vision.
Awesome. Sounds good. Give us the website once again.
It's www.billhuntforsheriff.com.
Any other phone numbers or anything like that? Just the website's the best way
right
now?
The best way right now at this point to get a hold of me is, and you can, there's a form there under the support bill page. Number one, the website's, it has a lot of information. It's got our calendar, so you can see what kind of events are coming up. It has information on me.
And if you give the email address, you'll get some updates from you periodically. Isn't
absolutely. If you provide us with your email address, we'll put you on our email list. We email currently to thousands of people, and we want to expand that. Number one, it's cheap. We have a grassroots effort here going. We're trying to save money for the
sure.
for the end of this race.
Sure.
And so if you can get us your email, we'll be happy to put you on a list and keep you informed of what's going on.
www.billhuntforsheriff.com, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, now, thank you very much for coming on the show again. I hope that we can get you back here before the election.
And, my pleasure.
And after the election once you've won, because personally, I think it's yours. But that's just me. What do I know? This interview is going to be on thetwistedbadge.com this afternoon. Mike Madigan, who runs thetwistedbadge.com, is nice enough to host this interview. He will have it for
great.
Your listening
we'll link
pleasure.
It up.
Yes, you will link it up. Bill, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I hope you have a happy holidays.
Same to you.
Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you again.
Thanks again.
Thank you. Now, everybody else, I am going to be back in studio next week with more commentary and good stuff like that. The week of the 28th, that I will be gone, but Ben and Dave, they will be in studio with a two-hour show that week, so you will not want to miss that. Next week, more exciting stuff from me, Cameron Jackson, right here at the OC Variety Hour. This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. It's been fun. Let's do it again. I'll see you next week.